This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. And PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash, and head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And Better Fantasy, it's a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And we're also brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in the below-the-belt grooming. Head over to manscaped.com and use promo code SGP for 20% off your order and free shipping. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for the Farmers Open prop picks. It's kind of going to be a weird show tonight, boys. It's late Monday. There's not a whole lot of stuff out. So your boy, Boston Capper, and the God of Golf himself, Steve Schermer. We're just going to kind of shoot this one from the hip, man. We're gonna go through some odds. We're just going to kind of walk through everything. We haven't talked about anything. There's nothing really to go on. So basically just hear us kind of go through our process and what we're targeted.
So let's pull back the curtain real quick. So while as a fan, I really appreciate what the PGA Tour did by moving Wednesday to Saturday.
Yes, absolutely.
As a content creator and a handicapper and a guy who is based on deadlines to not only make picks, but to also give you picks and produce shows and articles and stuff, this sucks. Mm. And I think I've heard people say, I want every single fall season event be Wednesday through Saturday. I don't want that.
I'd pull the Nagels, man. We just take the fall off.
We might. Or maybe we just do one show and that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can't be doing three shows a week.
For content creators, it's not great. So, like we just mentioned, not everything is out. Like, I if we had access to WynnBET, they have everything out, but we don't.
No, we don't.
So, we don't really have a final card right now. Oop. Like, we're still digesting things. So, instead of giving you everything, and listen, like, this is going to be all over the place, like Boston Capper said. This is going to be more kind of like a conversation. We're going to bounce ideas back off each other. It's going to be a loosey-goosey show, not really a clear format. So, listen, if you're not into that, just fast forward to the end. We'll tell you everything we picked, you know, basically the show. But if you want to hear our process and kind of listen to two maniacs at 10:30 on Monday night, both made a cocktail and go over the odds boards and kind of maybe get into bets, maybe try and talk each other out of doing something stupid, you're in for a ride.
So, That's right.
Why don't we first start with, why don't we give a quick recap of what we bet outright?
Okay.
And we just recorded a show with Andy Lack. We did DFS tiering and we did outright bets. And there's also a great conversation about John Rahm that you absolutely need to go listen to. Yes. But we made our outright picks there. So, Boston Capper, why just do a quick recap of what you're on outright for the tournament?
Outright, I'm on Bryson 22, Burns 22 or 24. I can't read my own fucking handwriting. Finau 33, Homa 60. So, okay. Andy was pretty fucking strong on Berger.
Mm-hmm. He was.
I don't know. I might have to dip my toes in.
Okay. So, I think, because I like Berger a lot this week.
I like Berger season long, but like I didn't see him at all. Like, he didn't pop for me at all this week.
So, here's what concerns me about Berger, though. And maybe this is dumb. Like, I understand he's one on POA.
Yeah.
What's bothered me about Berger is his putter ever since the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs last year has been bad, like really bad. And he's a really good putter. And we've seen him on bent grass. It was bad. And I thought, okay, maybe we put him on Bermuda. We better. And it was bad at Eastlake. And I think at the Hero, too, there's no strokes gained, but he wasn't making a whole lot of putts that week. He played well. He shot the ball great. He wasn't making a whole lot of putts. And he was bad at Sony. So now we get Mompoa, which he's won at Pebble. I think his other POA history is a little dicey.
Yeah.
So I like him top 10 this week. I don't know about the outright because I'm on Sung J.M. as one of my outrights. And I kind of look at those guys. They're kind of do a lot of similar things. Like Berger right now, he's on an absolute heater with his irons. No question about that. Both of them hit their long irons pretty well, though. They're about equal there. So I think they're on the same footing. They're off the tee. They're basically the same. Both of them average about 299 off the box the last 3 years. Both of them hit about 64% of their fairways. So they're same there. Sungjae's a little streakier with the putter. I've seen him have pretty big upside on POA greens at Torrey Pines. I've seen him have downside. But, you know, I mean, I'm kind of looking for volatility there. I like a little bit more of the volatility with Sungjae. And he's like 10 points lower.
Yeah.
So that's why I went for him.
Okay. Makes sense.
But I don't mind Berger at all.
Okay. Makes sense.
All right. So I got Burns at 25. I kind of targeted like, and I was only going to shoot for three guys between like 25 and 35 and then get somebody down the card. But there ended up being a guy that I found that I couldn't resist the number. So I got Burns at 25. I got Sungjae at 32. Got Finau at 33. And then I found a Scheffler at 34. If you want to hear my arguments why I like both all those guys, you can go listen to the Air podcast. I'm not going to rehash it. And then I found a 70 on Wolf. And I think for me, it comes down to if you like Bryson this week, you got to like Wolf. Like both these guys are going to attack the golf course the same. I've seen Wolf also have success here, and he's 70-1.
I mean, I heard you say that on the last pod too. And so, I mean, I feel like everybody's. Maybe it's not everybody. Maybe it's just you. Like, but it's the same. So it's a Rahm Palmer course. It's a fucking Bryson Wolf course.
I'm not really saying that. I think just both of them are that attack this place similarly.
Okay.
And they both can do similar things.
Okay.
It's similar to my Sungjae Berger argument.
Okay.
Like, I think they both do similar things. Sungjae is 10 points lower. Wolf and Bryson, I mean,
yeah, it's 50 points lower.
Listen, I mean, Wolf, I think Wolf has a much bigger floor, deeper floor than Bryson.
Deeper floor, yeah.
I'm not saying Wolf is better than Bryson, but I also think their ceilings are similar.
Okay.
When they're both at their best. And I mean, Wolf could have won a couple tournaments in the fall.
Yeah.
He's close. I mean, he definitely is there. And like I'm willing to throw out what happened last week because he's never really good at the stadium course. So let me ask you another question too. And we see this on our Slack channel sometimes. Do you like backing up your outrights with the top 10? Or do you like kind of just let it go?
Depends on the guy. I know that's a cop out, but if it's a boom or bust guy, then no. But if it's a Rahm, if it's somebody who's, I'll pick an arbitrary number, but somewhere between like 20 and 25-1, I'll typically do a top 10 on them.
Okay. All right. Is there any one of your outrights you're maybe, we'll talk about positional props later, but is there any one of your outrights right now you kind of want to get in on like a top 10 or something?
So I have two top 10 bets in right now, and one's Burns, and that's
okay.
And that's 2-1, and Rahm, and it's minus 140.
Oh, man. So you're going back to that.
Back to the well, baby. Back to the well.
I can't after last week.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I just think his course history here is so fucking good, and I'm not betting him at 6-1 to fucking win. A top 10, I mean, what do you got? Four of the last five?
We talked about it last show. I knew it was gonna be crazy low. 6.5-1.
It's ridiculous.
7-1. Like, come on. It's like this is a stacked field.
It's dumb. It's really dumb.
It is bad. It's either the books are afraid of like just people just auto betting him or I don't know. So
yeah, I mean that's it. The books don't want the action on him. And if anybody's dumb enough to put the axe on them, then I mean, what's their liability on that? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be fucking low as shit. So who cares?
Right. Yeah. So, all right. Why don't we take a quick break and then Why don't we start with matchups? We'll kind of work our way down from there.
All right, sounds good, man. Well, listen, if you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we're bringing the excitement of the Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. Bet $10 to win $200. New customers who make their first $10 bet, win, loss, or push, will receive $200 in free bets. So great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now over at WinBet. From boosted parlay place the live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win today. So go sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WYNNBet.com today.
All right. Why don't we start with matchups? Right. So I have a couple down, but there's one more slot I basically need to fill. And you haven't picked any, so
nope.
Maybe we'll pick a couple on the air for you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Up here. So when I did my matchup research column back in like December, I made mention that, you know, it seemed like there was a good ROI on taking big pre-tournament favorites. Well, most of it was Jon Rahm. Basically, he was killing
everybody
last right. year just right. because he finished top 10 every time. And, you know, somebody basically had to have a ceiling week in order to beat him. And we see this again this week. I mean, we got him at matchup against like JT. Rahm's a -160 favorite. You got him matchup against Xander. Rahm is like a -210 favorite. Got him matchup against Hideki. He's like a -205 favorite. So, I mean, like, I there's temptation to go plus odds. Are you tempted at all to bet any of those guys?
No.
No, I'm not either. No. And you're not going to lay the juice, right?
Nope. No, no. That's a pass for me. Just, I mean, yeah. Holy shit. I mean, -210 against Xander, like, I mean, come on, man.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
Like, Rahm could finish third, but Xander wins the tournament.
Yeah, it's no. Like, no. And I like Hideki a lot this week, so I wouldn't take that. I guess in theory, I'd take JT because I don't feel like this is a course for him.
We take Rahm -160 against JT?
I guess. But, like, that's not something that, like, I'm running to the window. You know what I mean? Like, that's something where I'm like, yeah, all of a sudden, JT finds his putt and stroke. And, you know, yeah.
So then I guess if you don't really like JT, you might want to move to the next tier. So he's a favorite against two underdogs. Who one is Xander, who, I mean, I had a little bit of a contrarian take on him in our DFS show.
Yeah.
He's like +115, +110 against him. And he got Hideki, who we both like.
Yeah.
Who's an underdog against JT.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be an option, actually.
That's not
that looks
bad.
Kind of
cool. Yeah, that's not bad. +110. I mean, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. So that's the thing, right? The guys who follow us on Slack and you know, like we give out our matchups on the pod, but then when we're in Slack, we're doing fucking round to round matchups and stuff. Typically, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we typically don't do the higher known guys. Like we're looking for some value on some mid tier guys where we think the book's getting a little sloppy and they don't know the difference between player X and player Y. Like the fact, like betting against JT, I feel long term is never a good strategy, right? So while the +110 looks good and I like Hideki this week, I mean, it basically is a coin flip.
I mean, I've kind of changed my perception of this stuff too. Cause like, I mean, the books do a good job pairing guys who are basically kind of equal. So I found last year that kind of betting some of these like small underdogs actually has some value and decent.
Yeah. ROI.
Now, if you blindly bet it, you're going to lose. You have to be very selective about it. But yeah, like I might be able to buy myself into a Hideki +110 over JT. Like, I mean, like
I could talk myself into that.
So how many times has he actually played the Farmers? It's not many. I think his course history number, it looks good.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
But that's just because it's mostly that U.S. Open, which is like a T18, and you're gaining a lot of strokes on that field because there's such a wide disparity because it's the U.S. Open. Like, if you do well, you're gaining a ton of strokes on the field.
I mean, I don't even – he hasn't played here in a lot since – I don't even know. It goes – like, my one only goes back 5 years. He hasn't played in the last 5 years.
Okay, so he's played this once then.
Yeah.
That's tempting to me. Maybe we'll circle back around to that.
That's not bad. I like that one, though.
All right, so moving down. So here's another guy I was actually maybe going to target for DeFade, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is I'm not really looking at what I'm – well, I guess I should take that back. There's two guys I would consider. I guess my fear with DJ is we don't know what he's been up to.
Mm-hmm.
If he is right, this should be a golf course that he should eat up.
Yeah.
Problem is he hasn't really done anything here. Like,
no.
Ever. Like, I think his best finish is like a T18. He hasn't played yet.
He's another guy who hasn't played the last 4 years, and the last time he played here 5 years ago got cut.
Yeah, and he's got the bone saw next week. Like, is this just shake off the rust week for him?
Yeah.
Maybe. Could be. And I'm seeing a Berger who I like this week at -120 over him. And nope. I'm seeing a Burns who I like at -120. Like, I guess, like, it kind of seems like, is that like a sucker bet? Is that a trap bet? Because I think a lot of people like those guys this week.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if a lot of people like Berger. Like, I guess Andy kind of caught me off guard with that, right? Just because, like, he definitely – so when I put my DFS model together, I weighted 20%, 175 and over, and then 20%, 200 and over or whatever, right? Eliminated putting and did around the green. And Berger definitely popped in the model. And I never use long. I never use. I try to use no more than 24 rounds, and I'll bounce back and forth and see what the difference is. I'll go 12, 24, 50, and I'll see who overlaps. But I think I'd be more apt to take Burns because I like Burns more this week.
Okay. Yeah, I think between the two, I trust Burns more than Berger.
I think so, too.
Like, I've seen Berger kind of in these spots, too, and sometimes he kind of busts on some of these longer golf courses.
Yeah.
So I at least know that Burns has the length.
No.
So, all yeah. Right, so that's one thing to consider.
Man, it's so weird to bet Burns. Fuck it. So, man, Burns is a favorite over DJ? That's so
I know.
Weird.
But,
so
I mean, weird. This is so kind of like – this is kind of the new world order, though.
No. Like, Burns is not a –
well, I'm talking about, like – listen, DJ's great.
Yeah, I know.
Getting up in age.
Yeah.
Like, and we have a lot of really good young players.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And, like, over the last year, Sam Burns has been awesome. Yeah. Now, like, I think maybe the holdup is because he hasn't really done it in a big spot.
Right.
Like, his wins are the Valspar and the Sanderson.
Valspar is tough, though.
It's not a good field. Like it's one of the lesser caliber tournaments of the year. And I think you hold in the scene because he beat Keegan Bradley, and you're biased on that fact.
But my
point is he hasn't done it in a major.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why we're having kind of a hard time buying in on Burns.
But lots of guys don't do it in majors.
I know. Like Cantlay hasn't really done anything in majors. He's only has one top 10.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think the line's fair. I mean, DJ didn't really play all that great last year. You know, I think he played one top 10.
Oh, yeah.
That's the bone saw.
He did not play well. He did not.
No. So, all right. So up top here, I think the ones I have circled are Hideki over JT.
Yeah, I like that one.
And Burns over DJ.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. Why don't we take another break, and then we'll consider breaking down the matchups.
All right. Sounds good, man. So, listen, prop swap is... Wait, which one did I do last time? It's late.
You did WinBet.
WinBet. Oh, we're on Manscaped. So listen, support the Golf Gambling Podcast. And we are brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in the below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and a free worldwide shipping with code SGP at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls. Listen, you've heard me talk about it before. You heard the boys talk about it before. You got the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. You got a ear and nose hair trimmer. You got ball deodorant, a reviver toner for those saggy balls. As you get to my age, you definitely need that, right? So, and they also give you some boxer briefs as well. And look, you can take it in the shower. And listen, make your lady happy, all right? You're out golfing on Saturdays and Sundays. The least you can do is keep it nice and trim for her when you grotesque people try to go have sex with your wives, okay? So keep it nice and clean for the ladies. And, listen, go to manscaped.com and take care of yourself and get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SGP.
All right. After that, let's continue. Yeah. All right. So the next section here, it seems like we're pairing up guys who I think we like. We get Sungjae, Scheffler, Finau.
Yeah.
All kind of paired. They're basically about the same odds. Yep. Kind of a coin flip. I mean, for me, like, that's a pass.
That's a pass. Yeah, I pass that range immediately. Yep.
So, all right. Now we get to some ugly ducklings. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like the black sheep. So now we get to a trio of all paired together, like in different matches. Koepka, Spieth, and Reed.
Yeah.
God, that's ugly.
So my initial reaction was, ooh, Koepka over Spieth.
Okay.
I know he doesn't have good tournament history here and his form's not great, but fucking neither is Spieth, right? At least Brooks in a big boy field, I trust. And I know Spieth's a short game wizard, but like we talked about on the last pod, right? Something's off with Spieth in a swing. So if I can get even odds, I'd rather take that than have to pay a little heavier juice against Patrick Reed, who I know his form is trash, but, you know, has good history here. And same thing. I feel like, I don't know, whatever. I'm always in the bag for Brooks. So, but I like Brooks over Spieth.
So I was able to confirm Brooks is not playing the Bone Saw next week.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he's here to play.
Okay.
He's not here to shake off Russ. He's not here to do any of that stuff. So, okay. I mean, look, I think he played the Farmers for the first time ever last year. And the goal was basically I want to do like a reconnaissance, like a scouting report before I play the U.S. Open. Then he played the U.S. Open. He's great, but he was bad at
Farmers. Yeah, he was Farmers, fresh off the knee injury, too.
Yeah, that's was it. I don't know. I lose track of all the injuries.
I know, right? I know.
I guess for me, because I can see a way Spieth kind of does what Reed does to this place. Like, he's just kind of a mess. He just gets up and down for everywhere. Brooks, I mean, let's say Brooks hasn't really looked all that good in a while. Ever since the Open Championship, I think.
It's been that long.
Yeah, it has. Like, I mean, He played okay at the Hero, and then he sucked in the final round. Other than that, though, like, he didn't really do much at the Century Tournament Champions. Didn't do anything in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Yeah. He actually ended up hurting himself there. I mean, he was fine in the Ryder Cup, but you can't take away anything from the Ryder Cup. No. Like, it's match play. It's a different animal.
Yeah.
He did nothing at the CJ Cup. And I think he might have played one other event and didn't really do anything. So, okay. I don't know. I never really like playing Brooks in matchups because I don't really know what I'm getting from him.
Yeah, it's fair.
So, all right.
That's fair.
All right. Let's go down here. Here's one guy we didn't really talk about in the DFS show. Will Zalatoris. I think we mentioned the steam, but we didn't actually give an opinion either way on him. Do you have a take on him? Because some of the matchup, what he's paired up in a matchup I'm kind of interested in.
He's paired up with two matchups I'm kind of interested in because I don't want to take the steam of the DFS in case he blows up. And I don't think this is the first tournament Willsy wins. So
yeah, I don't think so either.
And so I didn't want to take him outright. But I mean, both these matchups to me are pretty good.
Which one do you like better, him against Connors or Gooch?
Gooch.
See, I like him against Connors better. So when I look at I like breaking up the DFS range. Like, not only use it for DFS, I like using it for the betting board.
Right.
And I'm looking basically at the $8,000 range, and I see a lot of guys who are really good on West Coast POA. And the one that stands out is Corey Connors.
Corey Connors,
sucks at this place. He's losing a full stroke per round putting on West Coast POA. Yeah. Now, thinking with Connors, like, his finishes at Farmers has still been pretty good. But it's limited. He has a ceiling. His ceiling is basically T30.
I think so.
It is. That's basically what he's been doing here. And because he's so bad on the greens, and he's not a good scrambler either, that if he kind of has like one bad ball strike,
I feel like that's improved, though.
No, it hasn't.
Really?
His scrambling, he's in the negative scrambling around the green. He's losing about 0.15 strokes per round over his last 50 rounds, losing a quarter stroke per round over his last 12. His putter recently has been good, but he's bad on POA.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting that to go back. I mean, like, if you want to hang your hat on Connors, he's going to hit every fairway. He's a good iron player. he's okay from, he's a pretty good long iron player. But, like, you know, things I've been talking about is, like, it seems like the secret sauce here is just how you do on the greens and how you do around them, because it's, you know, you're going to be missing your fair share of greens and you're going to be, again, trying to get up and down. Like, and his iron numbers are good, but they're not what they were last year. Like, they're fine, but like Taylor Gooch is hitting the ball better with his irons over his last 50 rounds than Connors is.
50 like, rounds is such a long time.
Even Christian Bezane, who's hitting better, like with his irons, his last 50.
So, rounds. Do you typically use that big of a sample size?
Yeah, I use 50 and 12.
Okay.
Yeah, 12 is like extreme. Like that's three tournament window. Like that's very volatile.
You hope it's three tournaments.
Well, yeah.
Depending on the golfer.
It's about three full tournaments that might be spread out over six if you're just missing every cut. But you're going to show badly in that. So I use that of like, okay, like, is this guy going to regress to the mean? Is this guy maybe going to come back? Is this guy just riding a hot wave? Like, it just, like, I don't, how I look at this stuff, like, I use it as just a high-level view. Just what a guy is doing. And then I kind of pick different things I like, and I go from there. So I guess for me, I mean, so the juice, so Will Z is like minus 125 over Connors.
I don't mind that.
I might bite.
Yeah, that's not bad. Okay. I don't hate it.
All right. Now let's move down a little bit more. Now we've come across the first one I've bet all week. So I bet Ryan Palmer minus 110 over Billy Horschel. I understand that Ryan Palmer has some DFS steam.
Don't care. Billy Horschel is terrible here.
He is bad here. He has one good finish. The only thing that concerns me about that is his one good finish was in 2019 when the weather was actually pretty good, and the weather's looking pretty good this week. Regardless, though, it is really bad here. Yeah. And like he's best known for like being a good putter. He's been, his POA putting is bad. He's losing like
he's a Florida guy. He knows that.
Right, and his iron play is bad. Like he's not even that all good of a scrambler. Like he basically has to hope that he's going to hit a lot of fairways and then he finds something with his irons, which he's not a good long iron player. So
yeah,
I took Ryan Palmer minus 110 over him.
I like that. If one of my books finally offers some matchups, and that's one of them, I would 100% take that.
Now there's another one, and you know Andy maybe tried to. I think he might have swayed me on him. So I see Justin Rose minus 115 over Christian Bezanhout. And
it's a matchup I took last week and I fucking lost.
Okay, well, it's a rematch.
Yeah.
Maybe Justin Rose, you know, he knows that Bezanhout got the best of him. And all right. Real talk, though. Bezanhout was fine. He didn't do anything great. Like, he had a lot of steam. And, like, I think for here, like, if I am overrating the scrambling game because the weather's going to be okay, maybe he doesn't have that big of an edge. Because, like, while he gains a lot of strokes with his irons, his long approach shots suck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually a little overrated with the scrambling. Like, he's actually about net neutral over his last 50 rounds. He's just a really good putter. But that's really all you're banking on. And he's got okay accuracy. He's so short, though. He's averaging 284 off the box over the last, like, 2 years. Like, it's not great.
Yeah. I pass.
I might butt in Justin Rose.
I'll pass?
Okay. All right. Moving on down the card a little more. You got Siwoo Kim or Max Homa. You're going to take your boy.
What? I bet Homa outright. No.
Okay. All right. How about Joaquin Niemann over Cameron Tringali?
So, I mean, the way you talked about him was fine. I don't even remember what Tringali did last week because I just bet him outright.
Oh, he sucked. He was bad.
I don't hate it.
I mean, his outright number is reasonable this week. It's like 101, but I don't know. Okay. Here's another one I took. And I agree with Andy Lack about Mackenzie Hughes, like, last when he talked about him, but he's minus 150 over Francesco Molinari. I think that's a lot of respect for Mackenzie Hughes.
That's way
when almost all of that, his success at Torrey Pines is that U.S. Open number. If you go look at his Farmers results, they're not very good.
Okay.
And Molinari kind of churns out a lot of top 20s here.
Yeah.
And he played good last week.
Hey, fucking came in. What, he came in fifth?
Yeah, and I think, like, if Molinari is right, I think he's a better player, Mackenzie Hughes.
Yeah, dude. Just do it on that 1 year heater and fucking was winning everything.
So I took that. I had plus 125 over Francesco Molinari.
I like that one.
That's a little bit of an underdog play.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Anything else as you scroll down here that's catching your eye? You got, flavor of the week, Aaron Wise over Alex Noren. You got Ricky over Gary. God, that's a... You're a glutton for punishment if you bet that one. Gary's minus 145.
You can't lay that type of juice with him, man.
Good Lord. How far has Ricky fallen?
Ricky sucks, dude, is what it is.
I know. Gary's Willard sucks too.
I was never a Ricky guy, so I don't know. It's just whatever. It's whatever to me. He's just another golfer. Okay. I've got too much attention to wore orange pants. Like, who could
All right. How about Carlos Ortiz or Adam Hadwin?
No.
Ortiz was good here last year.
Yeah, I'm not touching it.
Okay. All right.
I don't mind. I'm telling you, I don't know. Maybe I should fucking lay off and just have the hoagie exposure and fucking DFS.
Are you talking about
over Day?
Hoagie over Jason Day?
Yeah. Hoagie's played well here. He has
played well here. I think he has like a top 10 here.
Yeah, and he's coming in decent form, right? We get T3.
I guess the question is, you're buying at the absolute peak on Tom Hoagie.
I mean, it's 7,500. Am I really buying it? I'm getting plus odds. I'm not buying high.
I mean, I'm talking about like results wise.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, he's got a T5 with 19. Was it 19 or 20? 20 was the funky year, or 19?
19 was the really easy year. Okay, that was the moment Justin Rose won at like 20.
Okay, so 2020 he came in fifth, and then T12 in 18.
Good. I mean, if you think Jason Day is done,
I think he's cooked, man. Don't you think he's cooked?
I don't. He showed glimpses last week. He had a rough day at the stadium course. He actually had it going with the same course. I think he like tripled a hole.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But then he battled and made the cut.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll probably skip it.
With matchups, like I get so many during the tournament that I typically only need to take whatever 4 to 6 pre tournament. So I probably just pass.
All right, so to put a bow on this discussion, so I am on Palmer over Horschel, minus 110. I am on Molinari over Hughes, plus 125.
Love that one, too.
I am considering Hideki over JT, plus 110.
Yep.
I am considering Burns over DJ at minus 120.
Yep.
And I'm considering Zalatoris over Connors at minus 125. Oh, yeah. And I'm also considering Rose over Bizet. So I'm only going to do maybe one or two more. I got to pick out of those.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of them except Rose over Gesundheit.
So. Okay. All right. Maybe this carries over. Maybe I look at the positional market and see what Rose is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a place there. I just don't respect Bizet. I don't know. Like, that could be one where like Rose doesn't need to do much and he just beats him by Friday or Thursday.
It's true.
Yeah. So, all right. Why don't we take another break and then why don't we start breaking down positional props?
All right. Sounds good, Ben. All right. So, listen, Prop Swap is where America buys and sells sports bets. The only thing more exciting than watching the NFL playoffs is prop swapping in the NFL playoffs. Last weekend was Prop Swap's biggest week ever as bettors from across the country cashed in their Super Bowl futures, like Zach from Colorado, who sold his $100, 150-1 Bengals Super Bowl ticket for $1,500. Zach locked in his profit when he turned a $100 bet into $1,500, and the buyer got better odds than any sports book was offering. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. They also got awesome features like filtering listed tickets best on the best value, free activity feed to stay in the know for all the big sales and when red hot tickets go up, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Use join the real sports bettors on PropSwap. It's where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right. Positional prop time.
Yep.
So I kind of asked you about your process when doing this. This is my philosophy. I like trying to get as many shares of golfers as I can. Like, I kind of treat these tournaments as like a roulette board.
Okay.
Like, I just want to try and just cover the board as much as I can without overextending myself and like just being on too many guys where I'm just not going to make money. And then just seeing what happens.
Yep.
So typically what I do is I usually bet the top 10s on guys I don't bet the outright, but I like. I like.
Okay.
But there's just something about that. I'm like, I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to show well.
I got you. So you're putting the chip on 26, 18, 17, and 46 versus
basically,
me.
Yeah, just versus in the middle of the square, basically.
Right, and I'm taking like the two square or everything on 26.
Yeah, you'll take the outright and you'll bet them top 10. Some people do that, which if you want to maximize your profit, yeah, that's great. But right. I mean, shit, if you're wrong about them, that's that's two bets you lose. So yeah, I mean, listen, like, are you going to maximize your upside doing that? I mean, if you hit in the outright and hit in the top 10, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, I guess you can call it hedging, but yeah, listen, like, you like these guys for a reason, and. Yeah. You still can hit if both hit. And yep. If your outright doesn't hit, and let's say, like, God forbid, a guy bet top 10, which has happened to me many, many times.
Yeah.
Hits, listen, you at least got something.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm looking. So I have Burns. I have Sungjae. I have Finau. I have Scheffler. I have Wolf as my outrights.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, I think the guy I'm most inclined to back up with a top 10 is probably Finau, to be honest.
Yeah.
I trust him here. I think he's going to turn it around this week.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have fucking outright on him, right? And I love him in DFS. He's just so chalky at DFS. And so with no dead heat, I'm getting plus 250. So I don't hate that.
Yeah, but he's chalky every time he comes here.
I know.
He produces. I know. So I think that's – if I am going to do that, I'll probably do that. But the guys that I have not bet outright that I am probably going to 2 of 3 betting a top 10 are Berger, Hideki. And now that I think about it, maybe he missed the cut. Will Zalatoris. He might miss that cut.
With what cut?
No, as in the cut of guys in the top 10.
I was like, wait, well, hold on a second. We just
No. As in, like, now that I mention it, like, he's got so much steam behind him, doesn't he, this week?
He does, but look, I mean, it's for good reason, right? Just because we talk about this all the time, right? There's good steam and bad steam. So, you know, whatever it is. You can't just jump off just because other people like him. Because, listen, once again, Twitter is an echo chamber.
That's why it's why I'm not on it, so I can ignore it.
So you just, you know what I mean? And it's because we all look at the same data, and, you know, we all digest the same info, right? And it becomes a groupthink thing. It really does. And sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not. And really, like, if you think about it, like, the golf Twitter community has had a bunch of close calls and a bunch of fucking caches over the past fall swing. So yeah. It's not necessarily terrible. You know what I mean? It gets terrible when everybody's on, when everybody's on, I don't know, some fucking $6,700 schlub who all of a sudden hasn't done anything and now he's 15% owned. Like, all right, well, that's bad news.
Well, you know why I think, I mean, I've hit a lot of outrights going back to the fall.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And a lot of people have. I think it's because we're on a nice run of, like, it seems like this sweet spot for outrights is between like 30 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and a lot of those guys have been hitting.
Yeah.
Like, I know Cam Smith had a number on a certain book, but like most other places, he was like mid 20s to like 30. Hideki was around 20. Yeah. Rory was around 25. He had Kokrak was like a 50.
Mm-hmm.
Gooch was at 45. Homa, I think, was like 40 at the Fortinet. Burns is like 18. Like, we're on like a nice run of like.
Yeah. Guys who should win.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at some point, that's going to end.
Yeah. Huston Swafford just won.
That is true. Yeah. And listen, if your model said you at his number had positive EV, congratulations to you.
Hey, listen, I saw a bunch of screen caps. And so With the Amex, everybody knew to just throw some dots at some bombs. And look, nobody was like, I bet $100 on him. You know what I mean? But people were like, I threw $5, $10 on him. I took $50, spread it between five golfers who looked good, coming in good form, and they hit on him. So fucking sweet. Good for fucking them. It's no worse than me fucking betting Sun Kang first round leader. You know what I mean?
That's true.
You know? So, like, whatever. I never throw shade at somebody hitting a fucking winning bet. Now, if somebody was going around touting saying they knew they was going to fucking win, that's a different story. But I haven't seen anybody making that stupid victory lap. I'm pretty sure they would have got body bagged.
Right. So, all right. So, as far as top 10, so you have one on Rom.
Yep.
You went back to the low of the football bet.
Yep.
Okay.
But right. We should only make up half. Not even half. Dude, I put a hefty amount. It was one of my bigger bets. In a while.
You right? sounded really you were very confident about that bet.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I think as confident as you were last spring at the Valspar when you bet like Henrik Norlander minus 225 or Henrik Stenson. And Stenson put you in a body bag.
He did too. He did. Whatever. Fuck him in his awesome 3-wood. I hate it. If I had known he brought back his old 3-wood, I probably never would have bet it. Remember I texted you that? I was like, oh shit, he's got his old one back. Fuck.
You know, I actually saw a story that the European, like, or the RNA or whatever, basically European golfers are upset with Stenson.
Why?
Because they basically gave him an ultimatum that you can be the captain of the Ryder Cup team in Italy, but you can't play the Bonesaw. And he's playing the Bonesaw.
Are you fucking serious?
And people are upset about that. Yeah. That's dumb.
People are upset. Wait, what's dumb? That he's playing the Bonesaw and giving up to be a European captain?
I think it should be independent. I don't think we should care about that.
No, for somebody who feels as strongly as some people, not saying who, about the Bonesaw, now that it affects one of the guys you like, now you think it should be fucking independent.
No, listen, this is me personally. I have my own thoughts about the matter. But right. At the end of the day, these guys are independent contractors. Like you and me, by the way. And listen, like, if he wants to go play, go play. Like I appreciate, like, there's been so much. We're going to get into a Bonesaw discussion right now because, listen, we're just what we're doing. This is a loosey-goosey show. There's been so much bullshit from all the players about their rationalizations why they're playing this thing. It started with, like Patrick Reed last year. Oh, we're just trying to grow the game. Or Justin Rose said the same thing.
Yeah, bullshit.
You know what I appreciated? I appreciate what Shane Lowry said a couple weeks ago, saying, I'm not a politician, I'm a golfer. At least you're open and honest about it. So, listen, like, you can, I don't think they should be playing, but these guys are just trying to make a living, and they got thrown a bunch of money in their faces.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to
pretend. It is what it is.
I'm not going to pretend like I'm a high and mighty if somebody wanted to throw me a bunch of fucking loot and go play it at a shady-ass country with a terrible track record.
I want these guys to just be up front with,
right.
Listen, they're paying me a lot of money to go play there. Yeah, instead of saying, Saudi Arabia is trying to turn things around. Right. They're a lot more progressive. Stop with that bullshit. Okay?
Who is that?
They're paying you $500,000 to go play. That's the reason why Bubba Watson's over there, by the way, which is...
Which is nuts.
Some of his stuff, like,
dude, just think about it. He's got daughters. You know what I mean? He's got So like whatever, man. Who did I text you? Was it Norman who was trying to explain away how Saudi Arabia is now like progressive for women because they can fucking drive? Because they can drive.
Fuck off. It's
like, come on, bro. Like, and what's funny is like, so I'm not even old enough to like really remember Norman playing, right? Other than like the highlights on like Classic and shit. But like, he's good when he's like doing commentary and shit. And then I heard he was doing that. And I was like, oh man. And then he came out with those comments. And I was like, oh man,
it's
like, so bad.
I just want these guys to be open that yes, they're paying me a lot of money. I'm going to go play it. And it's a really good field.
Dude, that's what I said about Tiger, too. Like, back in the day, like, when, like, everybody was killing him for his extramarital affairs and like, trying to – I was like, dude, just turn heel. Just turn heel. More people – just admit what the hell's going on, and more people will love you. America loves a comeback story. America loves the underdog. They're like the wives, right? They like to fix you, right? America wants to see you overcome whatever issues you have.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But
fair enough.
All right. Well, we get back to positional props after that whole time.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Okay. Yes, that is what we're doing. All right. So I think my targets for top 10s are Berger, Matsuyama, Finau, Zalatoris, maybe Scheffler in there. I probably only get to do three. So I was trying to figure that. All right. Top 20s.
So wait, I got.
Oh, yeah. So you have Rahm.
I got Burns, too. Burns it.
Yeah, Burns.
Burns it plus 200. And then I got Molinari at plus 650. It's small. Small.
Okay.
Small. Dude, listen. For whatever reason, he plays the California tracks well. He lives out here now. See, he did the same thing last year. Remember, we were like, oh, maybe he's going to be back. No. He was not back. He just played these courses well. He's got a good track record here. Fuck it, dude. Fucking plus 650 with dead heat, with no dead heat rules. Yeah, I'll take it. It's not my normal size bet.
So how I do it is, because there's little room for error in a 150-man field for a top 10.
Yeah.
Typically, for a top 10 bet, my sweet spot is, like, if you want to, like, give it an equivalent to, like, DraftKings pricing, it's, like, mid-nines to, like, high eights.
I got you.
Because those, you get, like, 2.5 to 1, 3 to 1. Like, those are really good players with high upside. But, like, I mean, when you get to, like, I mean, I know it's fun to throw 10 to 1, 12 to 1 on a top 10, but
yeah,
like for those types of players, I'd rather just jump down to like a top 20, top 30.
Look, I hear you. There's no question about it. And so Finau's plus 252. I think I'm going to have to get on that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my sweet spot.
But so you got to think about it too. So let's say Moly hits, right?
Yeah. Right.
And let's say I put 50 bucks on him. Right. And so that's a much bigger payout, and that's going to sustain another 3 to 4 bets on the higher tiered guys next week on the top 10s.
No, I totally agree. It just, like, how much can you tolerate the dry spells?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And look, I don't go crazy with these things. You know what I mean? And I typically, like, and I told you at the beginning, I was like, I used to not have a whole bunch of top 10, top 20s because whatever, they don't like get me all excited. But when I start going back and looking, and I'm like, all right, where are my results at? Where's this at? I'm like, all right, I'm doing all right at this. And I'm pretty decent at ROI with some of the longer shots on this stuff.
Right.
More on the top 20s than the top 10s.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, how I look at it is, like, if I take three of those guys, I'm pretty confident one's going to hit, I come out ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, like, it's, again, it's not swinging for the fences, but at the end of the day, like, come out ahead in golf.
Yeah, money's money.
Okay. All right. So then, like, kind of on that same, like, chain of thought, when I do top 20s and 30s, like, I'm looking at, like, mid eights, high nines, mid sevens. Like, that's, like, we're at the range there. And that typically you're getting, like, 3 to 1, 4 to 1, 5 to 1, 6 to 1 on those.
Yep.
And those, you only, if you do, like, 6 or 7, you need to basically hit 2 and you're golden.
Yep.
So I've created, like, a list of, because I don't have all the odds on my books yet that I want to compare first.
Mm.
So my list of top 20s right now, Poma, Palmer, Lanto, Joaquin Neiman, Luke List, Aaron Wise.
Oh my God. We're on so many of the same.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys I can point to really good course history. A lot of these guys I can point to, they check a lot of boxes as far as length and good, you know, long iron play. Oh. I mean, Aaron Wise, like, I think that's the biggest question mark for me, is because he was so good in the fall. Like, but is that putting number, what he was doing, real?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he went to, I think, the Broomstick.
Hey, man.
Like, is that going to continue? Because his history on Poe was not very good. So
I haven't seen him since the fall, so I don't want to touch him yet.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's somebody I leave off, like, the.
I would wait and see. If you miss, you miss. He's not winning this fucking thing, right?
I don't think
you miss a top 20 at plus 200. Okay, you'll survive. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but it's tempting. Like, I kind of want to see.
But you can get a Keegan Bradley.
I'm not doing that
at plus 250 with no dead heat.
No, I'm not doing that. When's the last time Keegan Bradley actually had a top 20, like, anywhere?
Fucking, like, 3 tournaments ago. Not even. Let's pull it up.
Hold on. I'm
disparage my man.
He had T12 at Sony, T7 at Zozo.
Thank you.
Okay. My apologies. I'm sorry I came after your man.
Okay. And
if that's the case, maybe I will.
Add. And the last time he played here, he came in 16 or 17. Yeah, he was.
Here 1 year. Yeah.
And he finished top T17.
All right. And then, my top 30 is 30.
Can you hear my dog?
Yeah, I did. I hear that. Second day in a row.
What is he doing?
I don't know. Do you have alligators out there? Do you have raccoons?
I live in Florida. So
you got trash pandas running around?
Oh, dude. Listen, let me tell you. These fucking goddamn raccoons, man. These cocksuckers open the fucking trash cans. They open them and get in. And it's my fault because I need to pull it into the garage. But I got four kids. I got bikes. I got my garage is just full of shit. Just full of shit. I clean it out, and then a week later, it's just full of shit again. I cleaned up trash 2 days in a row. This morning, it was 28 degrees where I live, which is insane for Florida. Like, I had to start the car.
Heat wave up here.
Yeah, exactly. But I had to start the car so I could drive my kids to the fucking bus stop at, 20 minutes before. And I go open the door, and I'm like, motherfuckers, man. It's all over the driveways, and it's freezing. Oh, this fucking nightmare. Anyway.
Yeah, so about a week ago, we had a lot of garbage. We did a little bit of a cleaning in the house, and we just had, kind of garbage sit on top there. And we had chicken wings on Sunday.
Oof.
And then it snowed about 12 inches overnight. So when I went out to go shovel, a raccoon had gotten into our garbage, and there were chicken wing bones just all over the top of the snow. So just add to my misery of getting up at 5 in the morning in 2-degree weather, shoveling a foot of snow, and picking up discarded chicken wing bone all across my driveway. Great start to my Monday.
Absolutely. That's where you just go, fuck it. I'm calling in sick. I'm going back to bed.
Why don't we take one more break, and then we'll close out the show.
All right, sounds good. All right, man. So listen, Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming with the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools to score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way. It's totally free to play, and you'll earn better credits by completing challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. So download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app. You can find all the articles, podcasts, all the free shit. And don't forget to toss us a review on Spotify, Apple, whatever you guys listen to us on. And, yeah, spread the word, man. Trying to grow this thing up, man. And we love working for you guys. So make sure to give it back to us, man. We just ask for a review. That's it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So hopefully a favorable one, too. But if not, you know what? We'll take it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I guess just closing out the show, some other things I'm looking at, so the guys in my top 30, 40 list, yeah, Mito Pereira, who just everybody seems to forgot about. I don't get that at all. How did he get forgot? He was loved by everybody, and no one's on him this week.
I know. I mean, so,
all right. So there's that. I mean, Matt Jones, I talk about him in the DFS show. There's some things that I like about his game that isn't the perfect cookie cutter thing for this, but he's correct. Had success here.
And he shot 32 a couple weeks ago, 32 yeah, under a couple weeks ago.
I mean, that was an exhibition, but
I don't care. Listen,
whatever. He shows some form.
Yeah.
I guess Cam Davis is on my list. He's a good player. He kind of checks a couple boxes.
Yeah, he's fine. He's long off the tee.
Patrick Rogers, too. He's so boomer busted. So he's there, top 10 or cut at this event. But so.
Is Patrick Rogers American or Canadian?
He's American.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe after Michael Thompson screwed everybody last week, maybe this is the time to go back to him. His course history is actually pretty good.
His course history was good at the last place, too.
I know. Well, that was 20% ownership, Michael Thompson. This is 2% ownership, Michael Thompson. No one's gonna be on him this week.
That's fair.
CT Fan, I definitely will have a bet on. I got to decide if it's 30 or 40.
Make it 40.
All right. I'll probably get on Buckley again. Probably get on Smalley again. I just like those two players, and then maybe Carlos Ortiz, but I think that might be too cute.
I think that's too cute.
Okay. All right. So I'll probably take him off the list. So all right. So that's a list. I'll put out a final card with them tomorrow. Do you have anything else?
No, I mean, we were just looking at before we came on. So, yeah, full disclosure, we didn't look at shit. I was like, hey, you need to tell me what site I can pull this stuff up at, because none of my books are giving me anything. So okay. We pulled up DraftKings, and I'm talking to the listeners, not you, dude. You're the one telling me it. And so Mark Leishman at +130, top Australian. I don't hate it.
Yeah,
but I'm the same asshole who fucking laid -160 for John Rahm, top continental European, and got beat by some Frenchman and fucking Molinari. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Somebody named Brett Druitt might win it +1800. Whoever the fuck that guy is,
that'd be some upset. There you go. All right, I got nothing. I don't usually do nationality props. So
I got cute last week because I didn't want to pay the juice for the top 10. Either way, I would have lost. So I guess it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. John Rahm was terrible over Saturday and Sunday, and yeah,
back to the well.
Maybe help with people mad on social media too.
Yeah, whatever.
So. All right, I got nothing else. So,
All right, listen, you know where to find Steve, man. Come find him in the Slack channel, dropping knowledge and showing us where to bet rounds of rounds and showdown type stuff. And go to sportsgamingpodcast.com, click on any of his articles, click on the Slack channel, and make sure you find your way in there. You know where to find me, Boston_Capper, on Twitter. And other than that, all right, it's a new week. It's really the start of the golf season now. We get a nice fucking full field. Let's break them fucking books.